O'Reilly Digital Media explores the future of audio, video, and photography. Each show brings you insights from leading experts. Learn more by visiting digitalmedia.oreilly.com.
I'm here with Rick Salmon, photographer, teacher, writer, part-time radio voice guy. Great to have you here at Photo Plus Expo in New York.
Man, isn't this exciting?
Oh, I love this show. I mean, I really like the show. It has such a nice energy to it. It feels very professional. There's lots of interesting stuff to look at. I'm dying to get to walk around the floor.
Well, I'll tell you what. Give me the mic. I'll interview myself,
okay.
And you can go.
There we go. But then you only ask yourself easy questions,
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah. So, Rick, what have you been up to lately? Tell me a little bit about some of your adventures. You're always on the road, it seems like.
Well, it seems like that. I'm gone about 100 days a year teaching photo workshops around the world. But that means I'm home 265 days with my son, and I don't know any other dad that's actually home that much.
All right.
So that's the most important thing to me. But traveling around the world is such an experience. It's such a great education. Last week I was in the Amazon for a week. And then I was up in Machu Picchu for a few days. And on Monday, I'm going to Namibia in Africa leading a photo workshop there.
That's very exciting. Are you all prepared? Do you have all your gear ready to go?
And I've been prepared for a while.
Yeah.
See, the thing, what I do is I never know what job is going to come up. So I'm always ready way in advance for anything that's going to happen.
Well, you know, while we're talking about that, I love packing tips. I love preparation tips. What are some of the things that you always just make sure you do so you don't find yourself in the middle of nowhere going, darn, I wish I had...
Well, I always bring a lot of backup gear. So when I go out in the field, I travel very light. You know, two camera bodies, two lenses, maybe another lens and a photo vest. I like to travel light, but my backup gear is in the hotel. But my best travel tip is, you know, today on the airlines, you can only take two carry-ons.
Exactly.
Well, I always take three.
Uh-huh.
And my third is my photo vest. In that vest, I have my battery charger. I have my filters. I have maybe a small lens. I have my flash. I have my batteries. So I'm traveling with three backups. I hope there's no one here from the FAA, but that really helps a lot.
So now, are you actually wearing the vest when you board?
I'm wearing the vest, yes.
So an interesting thing about that is that if you run into a situation, let's say where the airlines clamp down all of a sudden and they clamp down on the carry-ons, then you can put your most valuable stuff in the vest even if you have to check your bags, right?
And that happened to me in Panama.
Did it really?
That happened to me in Panama. Yeah. I was on a small plane. And they said, you can't take that bag on. So I put everything in my vest.
Right.
Because I can't be without, you know, my gear. I do care if my clothes are lost or delayed.
Right.
But I have to have my gear.
Yeah, given a choice. I know the old joke, I used to shoot a lot out on the open seas, working with a diving association. And my old joke was, if I ever get tossed, I'm going to throw the camera. Someone catch the camera, and then after the camera's safe, then throw something to me.
That's right. Your gear comes first.
That's right.
If I lose my passport, it's bad, but
right.
I can't lose my pictures. The pictures are more valuable than the passport, for sure.
So a lot of what you do when you're on the road, you're actually teaching, right?
I love teaching.
Yeah.
I found that to be my niche.
So what are some of the things that people are asking you? What are the questions that that photographers right now that are attending workshops seem to be curious about?
Well, they want to know about raw processing.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Because I have a T-shirt that I wear the first night in my workshop, and it says Raw Rules. And it does. You know, as you know very well, you can pull out so much from the file.
Yeah.
Shooting raw. So we talk about the image capture that today... For the type of work that we do on my workshops, a wedding photographer wouldn't agree with this statement, but for the type of work we do, digital photography is really a 50-50 deal, 50% image capture and 50% digital darkroom work, enhancing that, playing with the shadows, with the highlights,
exactly.
Doing selective adjustments. That's one thing I talk about all the time, where if you have a beautiful picture, I see in one of the O'Reilly books over there, taken in Monument Valley.
Of the
two mittens, you wouldn't want to necessarily sharpen the sky, but you would want to sharpen the foreground.
Exactly.
So we're always thinking about, here's the scene, what are we going to do in the digital darkroom? Let's shoot thinking that way, just like Ansel Adams did, just like Yosef Karsh of Ottawa did.
Right. But now, you do a lot of people shooting also, right?
Well, I joke around. People say, Rick, what's your specialty? And I say, well, my specialty is really not specializing because I do underwater, I do aerial, I do this, that, but... it's the people that I love photographing, that a stranger in a strange land lets me into their life for a couple of minutes, and I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah.
It's an amazing experience, and that's the challenge I like in photography.
So, you know, one of the things about raw capture that I just want to touch on for a moment, you know, a lot of times a follow-up question I'll get after I sort of give them a similar answer to what you said is that, but you still want to, you want to focus on good capture, because people go, well, if I can make all these changes and it doesn't cost me anything in post, why should I worry about how I capture? How do you handle that question?
Well, even though I teach you know, Photoshop at the end of the day, sometimes till midnight, I tell them the first day also, yeah, think about the end result. But if you don't get the do everything humanly possible to get the best possible in-camera picture, then you're going to spend a lot of time, you know, trying to fix mistakes. So the main thing we talk about is seeing the light. That this is, you know, no light, no picture. I can look at all the covers of all the O'Reilly books here, and the main subject in every single picture is exactly the same. Now, to listeners, they may say, oh, man, what boring pictures. But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The main subject in every single picture is light.
Yes.
And if you think about that, the main subject is light. What we talk about on the workshops, we have to learn how to see the light. We have to see the contrast. We have to learn how to see the color of light. We have to learn how to see the direction of light, the intensity of the light. Seeing the light is the key. Then you can make the best possible exposure settings to capture that in camera.
You know, one of my breakthrough moments in my photography career actually happened thanks to Galen Rowe. And I was shooting slide film at that. It was, you know, pre-digital days. I was shooting slide film, and I was having a hard time capturing on the film what I was seeing, and it wasn't just matching up. And I was really struggling with the most basic thing, which is good exposure, really. And I was sitting in a Galen Rowe workshop, and he was talking about that, and he goes, "Well, the key is that it's not the way that you see the world. You have to see the world the way your film sees the world." Set your exposure according to that, understand, you know, the highlights and shadows, and then you'll get a lot closer. And I thought that was that changed my whole career. And I think it's true for digital also.
Well, having bad exposures is the number one reason why people are disappointed with their pictures. You know, they take a shot, they look at the camera, you know, it doesn't look like that.
Right.
And that's because technically we can see a dynamic range of about 11 f-stops. That's amazing. That's why we can look at a sunset. Even if a person's backlit, we can see them.
Mm-hmm.
If we're inside, we can see into the shadows. So we can see that 11 f-stops. Digital cameras see 5, maybe 6. Some camera manufacturers claim they could see 6 f-stops.
Yeah.
So if knowing that, you're exactly right. Galen Rowe was right. You have to see the way the camera sees it. So we have to see the light. Think about how the camera sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that, the camera's going to, that picture on the back of your camera on that little tiny screen isn't going to look like that, but what you could do in Photoshop.
Exactly. And that's one of the nice things, you know, now we'll bring it back full circle to RAW. One of the nice things about RAW is that, you know, that little picture you see on the back of your camera when you take the shot, well, that's really a JPEG interpretation of some of the data that you've captured. But then when you take it into Photoshop or Lightroom or Aperture, whatever you're using, you have access to more data than what's initially there, and especially with highlight recovery and shadow recovery. And then that's when you go, this is where RAW is really wonderful. You can pull stuff out of that shot that you didn't really realize was there when you first looked at it on the back of your camera.
Exactly. So we have to learn how to see the light and know. That's why it's important to know Photoshop, or you mentioned Aperture or Lightroom, or even Elements.
Right. The new Element 6 is terrific, you know, for Windows users. When you're working with people in workshops, is there something that you see over and over again where you go, let me offer you this suggestion, you know, around tripods or anything around that?
Well, Derek, it's amazing. No matter what workshop I teach when we're photographing people, whether I'm in Mongolia, I was in Mongolia in June, or if I'm in Peru, the first day on the workshop for the new people, it's amazing. This invisible force field shows up between the subject and the person, and they're all standing straight up, holding the cameras at eye level.
Yes.
And I say, there's no force field here.
Yeah.
Get closer.
That's a great line.
A lot of people like photographing people with a 70 to 200 millimeter lens instead of 200. I like to shoot people close with a semi-wide angle lens.
Yes.
Okay, because that helps me build a rapport with the subject. So when you think you're close, get closer.
Yeah.
Don't think about a force field. And also, use your camera as a spaceship, meaning that don't just hold it level. You know, turn it to the left, turn it to the right, shoot down, shoot up. Look for different angles.
Yes.
Well, the main thing that drives me crazy is that people show up the first day on the workshop with their instruction books, and they're looking for the custom functions. Custom function 42.
Yes.
So you have to know your camera.
Yeah, because it becomes an extension of your vision.
Well, I talk about that a lot, Derek. Do you play any musical instrument?
I play guitar, actually.
Well, I play guitar, too.
Yes.
So you'll probably like Eric Clapton.
Oh, yeah. But I'm really slow hand. Really slow hand.
Well, whether it's Eric Clapton or I like jazz music, too.
Right.
These guys who are playing guitar, they're not thinking about what note they played, what note they're playing, and what note they're going to play next. They're just doing it.
Exactly.
And that's what photography really has to become. You know, I always say, select the lowest possible ISO setting for the cleanest possible handheld shot. Check that. Watch for the highlights. The last thing you want to do is have the highlights overexposed and washed out. And you have to know how to make all these camera adjustments, just like a guitar player, so you're not thinking about it. Because if you get bogged down in the technical end of this,
your vision goes in the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. I have to think about the ISO and the grain and the shadows and the this and the that, you know.
I like your guitar thing. I might steal it. I've been using the stick shift thing, which is, you know, when you first start driving, you're thinking about the clutch and the stick shift and everything, and then you run into a tree, right?
I'll tell you what, I'll steal that. Okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're just driving and you're not paying attention to what you're doing with the. Okay, so I have to ask you an equipment question because I just, you know, we're all gearheads, right? So you mentioned two lenses when you go out. What are your go-to lenses?
Well, right now I'm shooting with a Canon 5D. I have the 1DS and the 1D Mark II, but I like shooting with these cameras right now because they're a little lighter.
Yeah.
So they're full-frame image sensor cameras. So that's important to know because the lenses really maintain their focal length. Actually, the lens always maintains its focal length.
Right.
But
right.
with a less than full-size image sensor, like a fisheye lens is not going to look like a fisheye lens.
Correct.
So my two favorite lenses are 24-105mm image stabilization lens.
Oh, I like that lens.
I love that lens. It's so sharp.
Yeah.
If I could only take one lens, that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the new Canon 70-200mm. Oh. It's an F4 lens.
The F4, yes.
But this has four steps of image stabilization. I was in Mongolia inside at a show. I have a tack sharp, more than one tack sharp shot, 200mm setting at a 15th of a second.
Yeah. I think, and not to plug Canon or anything, I shoot Canon also, but that lens that Rick is just talking about, that 70-200 F4 IS lens, is possibly one of the best Canon lenses I've ever shot with. I have the non-stabilized version too, and it's a beautiful lens also, but four stops, it's real four stops too.
Yeah, for my people photography, the last thing I want to use is a tripod.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
want to be, or a monopod, I don't want to be locked down.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, I really appreciate you coming by. I need to mention that Rick is working on a book for O'Reilly. Do we have a working title yet?
Well, a working title. It's all my favorite people pictures taken in the last 20 years. It's called
Face to Face.
And it has pictures from Mongolia, from Brazil, from Vietnam, from Cambodia. And one of my favorite pictures. Do I have another minute?
Oh, gosh. I want to hear about this.
Okay. Well, it was a picture of my mother was dying at the time, and it was a Buddhist monk, and I was raised as a Catholic, and I never looked in a Catholic priest's eyes and cried and, you know, felt love. And my mother was dying, and I told this Buddhist monk that my mother was dying, and this monk exuded love. And I'm never going to see this person again, but this eye contact that he's making with the camera is just so magical and so wonderful. My number one people photography tip is this. It's not original saying, but, you know, 20 years from now when people are talking about your stick shift analogy and my guitar analogy,
exactly.
they might say this, that my number one people photography tip is that the camera looks both ways. And picturing the subject, you're also picturing a part of yourself. So with this monk picture, I was very serious, and the way he's looking at me reflects my feeling. I was down in Costa Rica photographing these schoolgirls playing in the yard, and I was being so enthusiastic. I was having such a great time. You know, I said, come on, girls. And my feeling is reflected in their faces and in their eyes.
That's a great point.
So the camera looks both ways. The kind of pictures I take reflect my personality. And
it's true. And, you know, and I think it's a great point, and I think that's true for all of us, whether we realize it or not at the time. probably will see that book, I'm guessing, probably around June. It would be...
I think June of next year. Hopefully,
June of next year.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Great.
Because everyone wants to photograph people. You know,
absolutely.
Whether it's someone in Mongolia or their family people,
right,
or their...
And for folks that want to just find out more about what you're doing right now, where should they go?
They should go to the same place my father goes to. My mm-hmm. father says, Rick, what are you doing? I said, yeah, go to my website, because I can't keep track. So
right,
if you go to ricksammon.com, S-A-M-M-O-N. It
right,
sounds like the fish, but it's
right,
spelled differently. ricksammon.com. You'll see my books, my workshops, my TV stuff, my radio stuff, too.
That's right. And your radio voice was working well today. Thanks so much for coming by, Rick. Have a great show.
Thank you, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
This show was produced and is copyrighted by O'Reilly Media. For more podcasts, tutorials, reviews, weblogs, tips, and tricks, visit O'Reilly Digital Media at digitalmedia.oreilly.com.